Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Monday, November 5th. My name is Magnus Teeble. I'm your host for this hour. Joining me in the studio are also Ayu Sakamoto and Peter Hackett, who will be bringing us her music feature in about 15 minutes or so. And Peter will be back with a movie review after that. First off, though, we're going to talk to Azraf Ahmed of the TSSU. And I just want to mention that we just finished Fund Drive, our annual fundraising campaign. And thank you to everyone who donated during the week. If you haven't made your donation yet, you can still do that at www.cjsf.ca/donate. So welcome, Azraf.
Hi, good morning.
Azraf Ahmed, you are part of the bargaining team, or were part of the bargaining team.
I'm still part of the bargaining okay. team. Bargaining still goes on.
Okay. With the Teaching Support Staff Union here at SFU. Now, the Teaching Support Staff Union was in a strike situation for almost 5 or 6 months?
Yeah, we served strike notice back in June, and we've been on strike since then. And throughout the summer, we've been intermittently on strike. However, starting this last September 28th, we were on an indefinite work stoppage until October the 19th morning. Yeah.
And now you've reached a tentative agreement with the university, and that led to the cessation of the work stoppage. My understanding is that perhaps a ratification vote was going to happen last week. Did that happen?
Yeah, that already happened. Members voted with 91%, I believe, to ratify the new tentative agreement. Yeah, so it's over now for this round of bargaining.
Excellent. So that's good news for everybody, your members perhaps especially, but all students and everyone here at SFU. What was the process for you to get to that agreement? I mean, it sounded like it was not a very easy negotiation.
No, I was actually looking on my Google Photos this morning, and I realized that it was about 1 year since I started bargaining, because it gave me those 1 year annual reminders. And given that it was 1 year to reach an agreement, approximately, you can tell that it was a very slow and laborious process. When we started last November, SFU basically came to the table not ready, without fully developed proposals, and at every stage they tried to stall and delay us wherever possible. So it was quite a frustrating experience, which necessitated the strike.
Mm-hmm. What were the big issues that the TSSU was fighting for?
The big issues that we wanted to get solved this time around was that, one, that we wanted to recognize that we're living in a cost of living crisis, and we wanted to get wage increases for our members, which would enable them to survive in this very expensive city. So that was the first big issue. The second one was that the compensation model that we've had for TAs and sessional instructors has been in place since the 90s, where our pay doesn't go up with class sizes. There are these outdated equivalencies in place where people get paid less for doing more work in some departments. Mm-hmm. And so these things needed to change to make how we're paid more in line with how we actually teach these days. And the last thing we wanted to do was ensure a sort of stable and secure future for some long-term instructors, some folks who are sessional instructors or instructors in the English language and translation program have been here for 10, 20 years, but have no ability to retire because they didn't have a pension. So that was what we wanted to sort of secure. In addition, right, like some of these instructors have to keep applying every semester for courses they've been teaching for years now. So, we wanted to give them more security and stability moving forward.
So how did the tentative agreement that was reached with SFU, how did that address your goals?
We didn't manage to address all of our goals. For example, in terms of the compensation model for TAs and sessional instructors, by and large, we didn't get to address it this round of bargaining. But we did get a couple of big wins, namely pensions for our sessional instructors and English language instructors, so they can now finally potentially retire securely. The other thing that we got for all graduate students was this minimum funding letter, which means that SFU can no longer sort of cut scholarship or other forms of pay when our wages go up through TA wages. So those were two big wins. In addition, you know, we got our the full extent of the PSEC mandate in terms of our wage increases. In addition to doubling our mental health benefits and a lot of other benefits that we have. Now that might seem to some folks that, you know, like, you know, we went on strike. How come we didn't get everything that we sort of wanted, right? But it's important to remember that in BC, we live in a very unique context and are dealing with a very unique employer in SFU. In BC, the biggest issue is the provincial public sector employee council mandate, which sort of dictates how much of a monetary increase that every sort of public sector and union can get every round of bargaining, so which makes it really, really difficult to find money and room to get all of our demands addressed.
With that limitation in place from that mandate that you're talking about, how does, you know, obviously it wasn't something you're able to do with this round of bargaining, but how are you able to affect a catch up to, you know, bring you know, grad students and TAs back to a level where things are livable, because we are in a sort of an affordability crisis in general and a cost of living crisis in particular.
One way of doing that is ensuring that in order to get these benefits and some of these equivalencies removed, for months SFU told us that this would have to come out of our general wage increases. But what really sort of helped through the strike was pushing back against this narrative and looking at other areas within the mandate where we could fund some of these expenses, right? So really sort of putting pressure on the employer by all the hard work that people did on the picket lines really, really sort of helped. So in order to get these benefit improvements and other pieces here and there, we had to ensure that it didn't cut into the general wage increases and we got the maximum allowable amount. So that got us a large part towards like making sure that we got the largest possible wage increases so that there was a bit of a catch up. Now, obviously, it's not a full catch up to the crazy cost of living crisis in BC, but the way to look at it is it's an ongoing process, right? Mm-hmm. We're back in bargaining in 2025, and the wins that we have this time are not wins that we have to fight for next time. So we can fight for other areas of benefits, which catch us up even more going forward, right?
Right. So with a 91% approval rate, that's pretty good. So it seems like your membership was satisfied with the agreement. What were the big things you felt were left on the table, though?
Namely, like a compensation model for TAs and SIs, right? It's ridiculous that our class sizes get bigger. We have new modes of learning through online classes, through Zoom, which includes more work for us, and yet we're paid the same. And I'm sure if you ask any student or any professor that the workload has gone up, and there's a recognition that the workload goes up from the academic side of the university. Yet the sort of administrative and business side of the university does not seem keen on compensating that workload, right? And this is something that not only negatively affects our members in terms of how much work, how overworked they are and how underpaid they are, but it also affects students, right? A TA who has to grade 30 essays is not putting as much attention on each and every paper and giving feedback and personalizing the tutorials to students, right? Like, mm-hmm. this is a large issue that we need to get addressed, hopefully next time, yeah.
So now that the agreement's been ratified, you'll be signing a contract with SFU. What will be the term of that contract?
It's from 2022 to 2025.
Okay.
Yeah.
So really we're another year and a half and you'll be starting the process all over again.
Yeah, basically. And in the middle we also have to bargain RA contracts. So, as I said, it's an ongoing, never-ending process.
Right. Yeah. RAs, those are residence advisors?
No, those are research assistants.
Research assistants, yeah. Okay. All the different letters. So, what are the issues that will be coming up for research assistants, and how are they different than the ones that are addressed in this contract?
Right. So, research assistants for a very long time were not part of our bargaining unit, and were not part of our union. But back in 2019, we signed a voluntary recognition agreement with SFU to include them in our bargaining unit.
Mm-hmm.
But at every turn since 2019, SFU has violated that voluntary recognition agreement, and we had to sign guards again, mm-hmm. union guards again, this last summer and spring to get them recognized within our bargaining unit. So currently there's a hearing coming up over the status of various people and the people who had signed the cards.
Yep.
The primary issue that sort of concerns research assistants is getting them up to a living wage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no standardized union contracts or agreement in place. What often happens is that it's a wild west out there in terms right. of contracts, in terms of hours, in terms of work safety, and all of these other conditions that a lot of us in TA positions take for granted. So it's getting those basic protections in, as well as ensuring that they have a living wage, as well as the right to, their work through IP protection and a bunch of other things, right? Because it's a first contract, right, there's mm-hmm. a lot of elementary stuff that needs to get sorted, but
right.
also the big stuff regarding work conditions and pay, yeah.
So would that be sort of brought in under a new and separate contract, or would that be rolled into your, so that you'd have end up one contract for everyone you represent, or is
yeah,
that to be determined?
It would be part of our larger collective agreement, because within our collective agreement we have very many different employee groups, and there would be just another as a separate article.
Right.
Yeah.
How challenging is that for, with the TSSU, you represent several different groups, and sometimes their interests are different, because you have the teaching assistants, and you have sessional instructors, and now you'd have research assistants. And sometimes, their interests are not all aligned. How challenging is that for you as a union, but also particularly you as someone who's there at the front line trying to bargain for these different groups, related groups, and trying to make sure balance all those needs?
Well, on a bargaining level, I sort of view it as a research problem, as somebody who's actively involved in research and making sure that we hit all of the groups that we're representing, getting interviews in with them, understanding what their needs are. And I think we're kind of good at that as a union full of academics and researchers. I think sometimes there may be differing interests, but by and large, what happens at this university is that somebody who is a teaching assistant will at some point in their master's or PhD be a research assistant, right? Or and after they graduate, they might be a sessional instructor, right? So there isn't too much conflict over that, because we all recognize that at academic institution, we all wear different hats at different mm-hmm. points. And even though I'm a TA now, winning something for the sessional instructors might be something that benefits me in the future. And like, some of these issues are very intimately connected, right?
Yeah.
So for instance, our total funding is often coming up from scholarship top-ups, research assistant positions, and teaching assistant positions, right? And ensuring that when one of these bays goes up, the others don't go down is a key struggle for TSSU, because that's one of the ways that some departments claw back funding, right? And you can't really sort of advocate for that unless you're advocating for all those, our members and all the sort of hats that they wear, right?
Yeah.
You need to fight for people as teaching assistants. You need to fight for people as research assistants. You need to fight for people as sessional instructors, right? So that recognition is, I think, key to our efforts. Yeah.
So with the ratification, the strike is over. But as you say, the next round is not that far away. What are going to be the big issues you're looking at for that?
Obviously, some of the stuff that was that we didn't manage to secure this time. So, namely, the compensation model piece, and that's something that is not only an issue at SFU, but I imagine it's an issue at UBC, CAPU, all the institutions here, that class sizes have exploded, yet pay has not, right? And it's not only a labor issue, it's an academic issue. So we do hope that moving forward, like, the province recognizes that if it wants to be a lead, it wants to keep a leading role in academic affairs in Canada, it needs to make sure that people are taught better, right? So hopefully this is something that we can get through next time. As always, I don't see the cost of living ever going down in this province. So
yeah.
The cost of living, I'm sure, is going to be an issue next time around as well.
Almost finished up here, but you mentioned some of the other schools around the region. How well represented are TAs and RAs and sessional instructors at some of the other institutions? The TSSU has been, you know, on the campus here, you know, playing a quite prominent role for many years now. What's the situation in some of the other schools, and what representation do those students at that level have?
Usually at UBC, for instance, TAs are represented by QP, and at CAPU, for instance, they're represented by Unite Here 40.
Yeah.
So at other places, TAs and sessional instructors are represented by some bigger unions. SFU is unique in the sense that we have an independent union representing TAs and sessional instructors, which gives us some more leeway and independence, obviously. In terms of RAs, UBC is sort of in a similar boat where they're in a QP is in a hearing with UBC over the status of RAs. We're also looking forward to the results of those hearings, right? But by and large, when Unite Here went on strike in CAPU, some of the struggles that we saw that they were going on strike were similar to our struggles. So the sense that I get is that, talking to folks, is that it's similar concerns all across the board.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in to join me today. Azref Ahmad of the Teaching Support Staff Union here at SFU, one of the chief members of the bargaining committee. Must have been really a lot of hard work, I think.
Yeah, it was crazy. I think the last day we were in mediation, I was there for about 24 hours through the night. So it was hopefully worth it. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in today and explaining where things are at and how things have been resolved. It's been a tough struggle for you guys.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Azref Ahmad of the TSSU. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Ayu is going to be up with her artist feature in a moment. And who's your artist today, Ayu?
Today we introduce the Japanese artist Ikimonogakari.
Excellent. Before we get to that, though, this is the Brad Turner Quartet. And a track called You're Okay. the Brad Turner Quartet and You're Okay. That's from a new album from them that's on our playlist now at CJSF. Let's take a quick look at the weather. It's going to be kind of rainy today. Highs up to 12 degrees, but it's going to start clearing overnight, although there'll be more rain with a mix of sun and cloud tomorrow. And then back to a little more rain, a little more sun on Wednesday, and then it's just going to settle in with a cool 10 degrees and periods of rain for the rest of the week. That's your weather this week for the Vancouver area. Let's go with your artist feature.
Okay, so hello everyone. Today I want to introduce you to one of my favorite music bands, Ikimonogakari. So Ikimonogakari is a Japanese pop rock duo that formed in 1999. And let's start with a popular song called Blue Bird, released in 2008. And if you are a fan of Naruto anime, you've probably heard this song before. was Blue Bird by Ikimonogakari. Now let me share a little more about them. Ikimono Gakkari is a Japanese pop rock band formed in 1999, and the band originally consisted of three members, Kiyoe Yoshioka as a main vocalist, Yoshiki Mizuno on guitar and piano, and Hotaka Yamashita on guitar and harmonica. One of the things that makes Ikimono Gakkari so special is Yoshiki's talent for composing their songs. The band's motto is writing songs for a specified audience, so the melodies are so catchy, enjoyable to listen to, stay in people's heads, and are easy to sing. Another thing that makes Ikimono Gakkari outstanding is the main vocalist, Kyoe's incredible voice. She has such a powerful and passionate singing style that brings the emotion in their songs to life. Whether it's a heartfelt ballad or an upbeat song, Kyoe's vocals always match the songs perfectly. In addition, I feel their songs have a universal message that transcends all barriers. First of all, their songs often have no gender barriers. The main character in their songs is a person who is not limited to one gender, so many of their songs can be synthesized with by people regardless of gender. And in addition, their songs don't use words that only the same or younger generation understands, so they easily cross the age barrier. Because of the system of making music, they're a music group that plays songs that reach the masses. And actually, when I was in elementary school, I used to sing their songs with my classmates at school, but my parents also bought their CDs and listened to them often. My family often played their song when we went for a drive. So now let's move on to the second song. The song name is Arigato, which means thank you in English. This song is all about expressing gratitude and appreciation, and it's actually quite popular in Japan and is often played at weddings. It's a beautiful song that has touched the heart of many generations since its release in 2010.